From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau Assembly voted Monday to give the school district $2.3 million to address deficits ahead of the next school year. Most of it will go toward a transportation funding deficit caused by declining enrollment and flat funding from the state. It also includes money for new wrestling mats. The rest will resolve deficits from community classes and Rally, the district's after-school program. The Assembly approved the funding, but not without pushback from some members. Mary Beth Weldon suggested the Assembly cut the amount down to $1.9 million.
You knew you were running yourself into the red, and I think you guys need to take some responsibility for that.
Assembly member Alicia Hughes-Scandes says she understands where Weldon was coming from, but without adequate funding, she said the school district needed help.
I do think we're financially in a position to do that.
Assembly member Wahal Gidak said Assembly and school board members have discussed ways to save money in the future. Those include outsourcing Rally and having the city's Parks and Recreation Department take over community classes.
I think we have some really good solid ideas for ways we can move forward with cost savings, and I'd like to see those come to fruition, but I think underfunding right now is not the solution.
Ultimately, the Assembly voted 6-3 to give the district $2.3 million. Separately, the school district has requested the maximum amount of city funding allowed by the state for the next year, along with $2.5 million beyond that cap. On Monday, the first cruise ship of 2023 docked in Juneau. On that same day, city officials signed an agreement with the cruise industry to start limiting visitor volume. Starting next year, there will be a 5 cruise ship daily limit in Juneau. It's a rare example of successful negotiations between a port city and the cruise industry, but some community members say it doesn't go far enough. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
The 4,000-passenger Norwegian Bliss is docked right downtown. It towers over all of Juneau's buildings. The first cruise ship visitors since October are streaming off the boat, looking to start their iconic Alaska adventure.
It was on our bucket list. Always wanted to come to Alaska.
It's always been on Michael's bucket list.
I'm hoping to see the Northern Lights. That's on my bucket list. And the glacier.
What's the glacier tour?
This is whale watching.
I hope to see some whales today.
We're going to whale watching.
Whale watching? Tour managers are ready with a flurry of maps and flyers. But not everyone is feeling so welcoming.
We don't like to annoy, if you will, the passengers, but they need to know. Cruising has consequences.
Sue Schrader is with a small group of protesters holding a massive banner. They hope passengers can see it from the boat's deck. It says, communities against cruise pollution. Juneau's port only has room for 5 ships at a time. Some days, 2 ships will dock at different times, so there can be a total of 6 in a day. Across the industry, cruise ships are getting bigger and carrying more passengers. A day with 6 full ships could double the population of Juneau. A new agreement between cruise lines and the city will scale things back a bit by introducing a 5-ship daily limit. 5 ships is still a really busy day, but it's possible that stopping at 5 is the most Juneau can do. The new limit is actually not even enforceable. But city tourism manager Alexander Pierce says it could give the city more breathing room. And it could also pave the path for future negotiations with the industry.
So we're able to articulate what we actually want to be as a tourism destination over the next 10, 20, 50 years, and then starting to focus on how we maximize the economic benefits to the region, given that cruise tourism isn't going away anytime soon, but we can work to make things feel a little bit more balanced.
Working closely with the cruise industry seems to be the best way to find that balance. If the city pushes too hard, the industry pushes back harder. That's the lesson Juneau learned in 2016, when it got sued by the industry for how it was using the per-person tax it collects from all cruise ship passengers. And of course, the community has long been divided in their opinions about cruise tourism.
Welcome to Juneau, everybody. Have a great time. Glad you're here.
Back on the docks, longtime Juneau resident Tom Sullivan says it's an honor to welcome so many visitors.
It's a very important economic driver in our community, but more importantly, I think it's really special that 1.5 million people want to come to the little town of 30,000 that I live in because of its beauty.
In the season ahead, Monday's visit will seem quiet by comparison. There are a lot of 6 ship days coming up. And when all is said and done, more than 1.5 million visitors will have come and gone. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Most Juneau commuters, like Tony Schulte, have probably noticed the remains of two wooden houses just off Glacier Highway on the north side of the Brotherhood Bridge.
To me, they're probably one of the, or two of the very few buildings remaining in the valley which predate statehood and predate, you know, the times of the when they had dairy farms here, and this is really undeveloped. So I just was curious about them.
KTOO has our history for this episode of Curious Juno. The houses are tucked in a grove of trees with some small evergreens sprouting up inside them. A few years ago, someone posted a photo of the houses on Facebook with the caption, "Perfect Airbnb, mostly air." Elizabeth Kogifile replied in the comments that that was her childhood home. She's lived in the Mendenhall Valley since she was born in 1935. Her grandparents, the Petersons, built this house in 1907 and started a dairy farm. We are looking at a photo of the farm from the 1930s when File was a young child.
The first 5 years of my life, I lived in that house. And this now is me playing right out here where we're sitting. And there's the hill. There's the hill, see?
She says her dad would row across the river each day when he was a kid to get to school and back. Her grandmother, Jensine Peterson, helped make sure the school stayed open in its early days. There's a story about her grandmother rescuing an engineer who was sick with pneumonia. When he asked how he could repair, she asked for a bridge over the Mendenhall River.
But he said, once they put a bridge in, he said, no matter how small it is, he said, they will always replace the bridge if something happens to the bridge that they'll build for you. Mm. And that's what happened. This is about the third bridge we had put in here since.
There were a lot of dairy farms in Juneau in the 1900s. Most of them were out in the valley, like File's family farm. They were started by homesteaders and then sold as businesses. File says she drives past the slowly collapsing ruins of her childhood home almost every day.
I'm surprised it continues to stand. I'm expecting someday when I go to church on my way home that building's not going to be standing much longer.
Juneau's last dairy closed in 1965.
I mean, this just is not great dairy country.
Richard Karstensen has researched Juneau's dairy history.
You know, we might look back on those families romantically, and they were very much can-do people who, you know, provided for themselves, but they were part of a generation who just came in and shoved aside the original inhabitants.
He says the area's colonial history is something he's become more aware of lately, and it shapes the way he understands the past.
Those early homestead claims and realizing that they just plopped right down on the most important of the old village sites and fish camps, and everybody wants the same real estate. So there was a lot of shoving aside of Tlingit culture going on then.
But he says the industry played an important role at a time when it was harder to get meat and dairy from outside. And the farm families pioneered the infrastructure in the area, like schools and bridges.
In spite of all my reservations about the dairy industry, I feel like it's really worth understanding, because there's got to be some nuggets in there that are valuable to anyone trying to think about rational ways to live here and take care of ourselves and not exhaust the country in doing that.
Now, Karstensen says there are local food initiatives that may be the new rational ways to take care of ourselves in Southeast Alaska. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The University of Alaska Southeast will showcase student work made in the school's Northwest Coast Arts Program on Friday. Earlier this week, students were making paddles in a basement workshop on campus. Luke Woolgottgetta, Tam Soya, James Williams was working away at one for Master Carver Wayne Price's class.
I can't quite get it to look the way I want it to look. So I've been fiddling around with it and different designs.
Several of Price's beginning carving students were working intently, hunched over their paddles with chisels or paintbrushes. No one was chatting. Price says they're almost ready to show their work.
Everybody's counting how many days to go and how much work they got to get done, and I call it OT, which is overtime.
Price says the students have been putting in a lot of hours outside of class too, and he says the weekend show offers a good chance for them to learn how to present their work. His advanced class will bring their work too, including masks and Klan hats. The gallery is open to the public from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday in Egan 225, the same building as the UAS campus library. This is KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.